And for more on this, we're joined by Dennis Doyle, a professor of religious studies at the University of Dayton in Ohio and a Catholic theologian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Angela.
So how would you assess the idea of an independent lay-led investigation into sex abuses by the Catholic Church?
Well, I think at this point it's very important that there be an independent lay-led investigation into child sex abuse. I think that in what you said initially, there were maybe a couple of things mixed together, because as I understand it, Vigano's letter accuses Pope Francis of covering up when it comes to McCarrick and his relations with adult seminarians. And then it was only very recently that McCarrick was connected with child sexual abuse, at which point he was immediately removed. And but the independent lay investigation, it's very important. I mean, I don't want to stress phrases like priests can't be trusted, but some cannot. And I think it's just a basic principle that whenever people are being investigated, they can't be in charge of the investigation. There's just a violation of principle there. It's been important in the Catholic Church that the hierarchy has had authority. There are many times in church history where bishops having authority has worked out in a very positive way for the Catholic Church and for everyone in the church. This is not one of those cases, and it's important that even though it's the bishop that has the authority in the diocese, it's the bishops taken together that have the authority in the church, if they are the ones being investigated, there has to be an independent body that is not them, that has real power, that is doing the investigation.
Right. Now, have there been any precedents for some kind of a lay-led investigation into sex abuses, and how has the church reacted to that, or how do you expect they will react if this is indeed the first time?
Well, there has been this board that has recommended the lay-led investigation has been in existence now for 16 years, and they have an advisory role, and sometimes the leaders of that National Review Board have been upset that they are really not given sufficient autonomy, and so it's not like this has never happened before, but they need to be given real power, and they need to be the ones leading the investigation, and they need to have either experts doing it or have experts working with them.
Right. And now, what would the results of this kind of investigation be? Okay, so the lay-led investigation finds people who are guilty of this and you know, is able to present evidence against certain members of the church. What happens when these are high-ranking members? Is the church really going to accept what has been found? I mean, how do you sort of balance the mix of a lay legislation and the internal, you know, doings of the Catholic Church?
Yes. Well, I mean, this is the point that we've come to here. We've had so many waves of revelation. Most of the things uncovered in this now well-known Pennsylvania grand jury investigation, that investigation covered the last 70 years. The great majority of these cases took place before 2002. There were many changes put in place in 2002, although obviously not sufficient, because we haven't reached zero tolerance, but the numbers dramatically changed once you hit 2002. And so, I mean, what's going to come of this? Already, I mean, people in high places who have been found to be recently covering things up are being removed. This is the new policy, as it were, new for the last 16 years. It has not been implemented sufficiently, because power on these issues still lies in a culture where there can be some cover up. But the numbers have been dramatically reduced, and it's got to go even yet further. There's a change in the culture. I think there's been a change in the culture of the church, although unfortunately, I mean, the church has experienced many splits. There's more people like to the left and more people to the right. Catholicism has always been known for its focus on unity, that no matter where people are standing, still, we are one church, we have one faith. This kind of an issue has been somewhat divisive among Catholics. But this culture has to change. Putting bishops and priests so high up on pedestals that they cannot be challenged, or that they themselves, as Pope Francis says, they think of themselves as people who have power over others rather than as the servants of the people.
And this is all, you know, connected to the Pope's discontent and what he said many times about the problems that are associated with clericalism. And that being one of the causes of the whole child sex abuse, you know, scenario in the church. Do you think that it is this, in fact, this clericalism, or is it something else that is behind the rampant, as we've seen, you know, rampant or in any case, widespread abuse?
I think that clericalism is the main culprit when it comes to the cover-up. When it comes to the commission of the deeds, that is so complex. I think that there are many, many factors. I think that child sex abuse is something that we have seen many places throughout the world, and that it's not just in the Catholic Church. It's been in education institutions. It's been in the Boy Scouts. That why does this phenomenon happen? And it seems that when it happens, it's like an epidemic. And there's even experts who write epidemiologies about child sex abuse. And you can find evidence of this also in a widespread way in the European Church of the 11th century, the 12th century. It seemed to get better in the 13th. You can find it in the 14th century, the 15th century. And then you have periods where it seems that at least simmering way down. I do believe we're in a period right now where it's simmered way down. It's gotten so much attention. And as I say, this study of in Pennsylvania that covers 7 years, the overwhelming majority of those cases happened before 2002, both regarding the deeds and regarding the cover-up. That's not to say that there are not things still going on and that the reins have to be tightened. Yeah, I think clericalism is the main culprit when it comes to cover-up.
Now, speaking of cover-ups, of course, then we have this recent letter from Vigano, which targeted actually Pope Francis and said that he was aware of certain abuses and did nothing. What can you say about this? There's also been claims that Vigano was, in fact, a disgruntled and not derobed, but, I mean, demoted individual, and those were the reasons that he wrote that letter.
He, in terms of the politics and culture of the church, he's to the far right. He is the one who, when Pope Francis came to visit the United States, he arranged this meeting between the Pope and Kim Davis, who was the one in Kentucky who had been denying licenses for gay marriages and was a hero of the right wing. And Pope Francis, Vigano surprised Pope Francis with this meeting. And later, Pope Francis had to say that, no, he had nothing to do with setting up that meeting. And there are other things, too, about this Vigano. It just happened that Pope Francis has been appointing cardinal electors. He's appointed now 59. There are about 125 cardinal electors now, and the number's supposed to be 120. And if a few people die off, it'll go back down to 120. But once Pope Francis has named 60 electors, he's got half of them. Another one, he's got a majority of the cardinal electors. So that's something that Vigano is part of a network that supports him, that are opposed to Pope Francis. They want to, like, politically assassinate Francis and get rid of him before he appoints any more cardinal. The charges laid out, as I say, there's a lot of distinctions that have to be made there. I would think that Pope Francis knew something about McCarrick, but how much did he know? And also, if a lot of his information was coming from Vigano is on the opposite side of a chasm. I compare what Vigano is doing to what the Republicans did to John Kerry in 2004, when a week before the election, they basically said that in Vietnam he was a coward, and that all the evidence and the medal shows that John Kerry was a hero. But it was the week before the election, and they call that swift voting, because it was about McCarry was in charge of a swift boat in Vietnam. And they did this character assassination of him right before the presidential election. And that's what they're doing to Pope Francis now that Pope Francis is one cardinal away from having appointed a majority of the cardinal electors.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I've been talking to Dennis Doyle, professor of religious studies at the University of Dayton in Ohio and a Catholic theologian.